A Spy of Venice, written by Bennett Brandreth and read by Luke Lambard. William didn't know what he wanted from life, save that it wasn't this. He twirled an apple across the countertop as he stared at the empty street, dark beneath grim, grey clouds. Fitful rain pattered against the window of the glove shop. It was just before midday. The apple spun haphazardly between his hands, as it had done for near half an hour. In front of him sat the open ledger with its neat row of sums in William's small, swift handwriting.
"Is the new leather ready?"
William's mother, Mary, called.
"Cut and sorted,"
William replied without looking away from the window. Mary willed the weather to break before her son's patience did. The long quiet of a Warwickshire winter did not suit William's temper. It brought him out in mischief. So she feared it had already, and she would task him with it.
"The lace prepared?"
she asked.
"Already sewn on."
"Both pairs?"
Mary could not keep the note of surprise from her voice. Her son had skillful hands, but this was fast work indeed. William simply nodded without turning. Mary contemplated her son. He was 20 years old, already married, and with 3 children to show for it. He did not lack for ability. The Lord knew the boy's mind was swift enough. Too swift, it was never in one place long enough.
"The accounts?"
"Done."
The spinning of the apple paused momentarily. William turned the ledger so his mother might read it, but did not trouble to look away from the bleak view beyond the window.
"The Apsley brothers are charging too much for dye," said William.
"Try Matthew Deller.
I heard rumour he had bought at a good price." Mary did not ask how William had come by this intelligence. William showed no particular interest in matters of business, yet he was a more reliable source of information than the town crier. Mary had a suspicion that in the days of the old Catholic rite, one could have gone to confession only to find William emerging, telling you not to trouble yourself. He had confessed all your sins for you already.
"William?"
Mary said. William stopped the apple's spin. He turned to look at his mother over his shoulder. If he felt any trepidation at the stern note in her voice, he did not show it, only curiosity.
"Look you at this,"
his mother said.
"This, which I found within a package of gloves ready to be sent out. What means this?"
"The gift is small, the will is all."
Alexander Aspinall. His mother eyed him over the top of the note.
"Master Aspinall intends the gloves as a gift for his mistress,"
William said.
"He asked if I could think of suitable words to accompany the gift."
William was unable to keep a prideful face from his mother.
"You have seen Master Aspinall's mistress, I suppose?"
she asked.
"Yes," William answered, "and she is worth a better gift than a pair of gloves, even ours." "No doubt that is why you find it wise to refer to yourself in the note."
"What?
I do not. I am not a fool, William,"
she replied.
"The will is all. You think I do not understand the reference? You think Master Aspinall will not?"
Mary crumpled the note in his hand and tossed it on the counter.
"Was this wise, William?"
"Not wise, but well enough." William straightened from his slouch to face his mother.
"Who knows what opportunity may come?"
A little grin broke into a broader smile. Quick hands smoothed the crumpled note.
"Besides, mother, you are more astute than Master Aspinall.
If I have judged him rightly, he will be too concerned with how the gift is received by the lady to absorb the subtleties of the rhyme."